Well, I understand that Kilkeel is the largest fishing port in Northern Ireland, and maybe the second largest on the whole of the island. And so you would all be very familiar tonight with the nautical theme that you could see developing in our hymns and in our Bible reading. And here in our text of Scripture, the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the anchor. And he's really drawing a picture here with words. And he's using the illustration of the anchor to create that picture in our minds this evening. And you can think of the great open sea. And the sea would be representing the sea of life. And whenever you think about that ship that's out there in the midst of the water, it's out on the open sea. That ship represents your soul. And just as the ship there out on the open sea will have to face all kinds of adversity and face the storms and the wind and the waves, so too through our lives we will experience all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of storms, and all kinds of trials. And so that vessel that is out on the sea, it of necessity, it must have an anchor. And so too with our souls spiritually, we need to have that anchor for our souls. And that anchor is called in the gospel the anchor of hope. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And so when we know that gospel anchor tonight, we have hope. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 2 and in the verse 12, he said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And there the apostle is describing the state of the unsaved soul. They're without Christ, they're without God, and they're without hope. And so the necessity for us tonight in the gospel is to know the gospel anchor and to know that anchor of hope that is described in our text of Scripture. It's very suggestive. The picture that it presents to us this evening. Oh, the believer. The believer has come to anchor their souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is described there at the end of verse 18 as those who have fled for refuge. Fled for refuge. That is, they've fled from the wrath which is to come, and they've fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And every time the gospel is preached, every time the gospel invitation would go out, there's opportunity for the unconverted, for the unsaved, to flee for refuge and to lay hold upon the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know tonight that anchor for their souls for all eternity. What a spiritual significance there is when we consider the gospel anchor. It is so suggestive to us this evening. We would think firstly about the purpose of the anchor. The purpose of the anchor. Every one of us tonight gathered into God's house would know the purpose of the anchor is to hold the vessel. It's to hold the ship in place. Because without the anchor, there's at least two dangers. And the first danger is that that ship would drift. There's the danger of drifting. And we know that the ocean is full of currents. and it can cause the vessel to drift, yea, even to drift off course. And the vessel can lose direction if it's just drifting and it's going with the flow, as it were. It's easy in this old world to go with the flow, isn't it? Just to drift along in life. And there's many's a one tonight, and they would just be drifting along in life. They have no real meaning to their life, and they have no real purpose to their life. They're just drifting because they're a soul without an anchor. They're not grounded. And you can think of those perhaps that have been brought up in the Christian home. Brought faithfully along to God's house, they have been taught faithfully the Word of God, but as they have grown up, they have established friendships with the world, and they would follow the flow of the world and the trends and the fashions of the world, and they would follow the opinions and the standards of the world, and they're just drifting along with the crowd, as it were. And many tonight are like that, just out on life's sea, drifting one way and then drifting the other way, just going whatever way the flow would take you. Many tonight, the pull of the world is just drawing them further and further away. There's a little hymn in the book that we would sing, and it would say, "How do you know, but your soul may be drifting." Drifting over the dead line tonight. Oh, the danger of drifting if you don't have the anchor. But the second danger would be the danger of destruction. Because as that vessel would be drifting along and just going with the wind and going with the flow, it's in great danger of being destroyed. It's in great danger of being wrecked absolutely. There are so many perils there at sea. There would be the rocks there that could cause shipwreck. I'm sure you've maybe at a time gone round one of the maritime museums. Different places, perhaps on holiday, that you could visit the maritime museum, and you can read all about the ships. And you could read when they were built and how many they could carry, and all of the voyages and the journeys that they have made. And then for some of those ships, you will read about the time when they were wrecked at sea. Perhaps how many lives were lost. The danger of destruction. And the spiritual lesson is there. It comes from our passage of Scripture. And are you tonight, are you running close to the rock? And you've drifted along, and the lure of the world and the lure of the devil, and you're in danger tonight of shipwreck. You need an anchor. You need the anchor of the gospel tonight. You need that anchor for your soul. You need to be grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. The purpose of the anchor. But then secondly, think about the power of the anchor. In the olden days, the anchor was made of cast iron or wood, or a combination of both. And they had great strength. They were able to withstand the toughest conditions. But today, I understand that the anchor is made of cast steel, which is even stronger again. And it's able to withstand a greater load. It's more durable, and it's able to resist that shock loading. And so the symbol of the anchor tonight would be a symbol to us of power and of strength. And it has the power to hold that vessel firm in all situations. There are different types of anchor. I better not go too deep into it, or you'll realize I know very little about these nautical matters. But the anchor that's maybe in your mind tonight is the one that's before us in this passage of Scripture. probably call today the Danforth fluke. You know that anchor, and it would have the stalk just across the top, and then the long shank down the middle, and then at the bottom it would have the two arms, one going out in either direction. And at the end of those arms, there's what's called the flukes. It's a fluke anchor. And in the midst of the flukes, they have what's called the palm. And of course, there's the point there that's on the end of the fluke. And this seems to be the anchor that Paul the Apostle had in mind as he was speaking here to the Hebrews, because he speaks about two things. And it seems to be the two arms of the anchor, and he actually gives them names. And the arms of the anchor are called sure and steadfast. That's the gospel anchor. That's the anchor of hope. The arm there going out in each direction, one of them is called sure and the other's called steadfast. You see, when you look there at verse 18, the apostle refers to these two immutable things. That's the two arms of the anchor, the gospel anchor. And the passage would show us the two immutable things. One of them is God's promise, and his promise is sure. God's promise is sure tonight. And the other immutable thing is God's oath, and his oath is steadfast. And you can see the power and the strength and the firmness of the anchor. Because God's promise, God's word is sure, not like the word of man. You cannot trust the word of man, but you can trust the word of God. And the Lord is showing to us here, he's a God who cannot lie. And therefore, when he speaks about his promise, he says it's sure. And he confirms that promise with an oath. And the promise is sure, and the oath is steadfast. And there's the arms of the anchor. That's the anchor of hope tonight. And that refuge, they fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that was set before them. That refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're thinking tonight about the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to save. And he has promised to save tonight, and he's able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so this anchor of hope tonight, it's sure and it's steadfast. You see, sometimes when we use that word hope, it's actually lost its force today. Because we use the word hope in the sense that we hope so. And we hope for the best. And we hope that everything will work out. But that word hope today, as it's used, it also involves the sense of doubt. But the word in the Bible here is a hope that is sure. And it's a hope that is steadfast. And therefore, it's a hope that will not fail. When you look to the end of verse 11, that's where we took up our Bible reading. And the apostle speaks about the full assurance of hope on to the end. You see, when you've fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope, that sure and steadfast hope, it's a hope tonight by which we can have assurance that we're saved. The full assurance of faith on to the end. And thank God tonight for the gospel anchor that brings hope to the sinner this evening. Unsaved soul, here is the hope of the gospel. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ who is mighty to save. And you can have tonight that strong consolation. You can have that full assurance of hope if you will but flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and make him your anchor and the refuge for your soul tonight. That's the power. The power of this anchor. But then I want you to notice in the third place the prospect of this anchor. And you look there in verse 19, our text of Scripture, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And here's the prospect. It entereth into that within the veil. And remember, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the Hebrews. He's writing to the Jew. And they would have been so familiar with the Old Testament and the teaching of the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, you can perhaps remember that it's divided into three different sections. There's the outer court of the tabernacle, and then there's the holy place, and then there's the holiest of all. And to get into the holiest of all, there was a veil. There was a curtain. And the high priest was only permitted once every year on the Day of Atonement to enter within the veil and not without blood. And when he would enter there within the veil, he was entering into the presence of the Lord, because the Lord had promised that there in the Holy of Holies, above the mercy seat and between the cherubim, the Lord says, there will I meet with thee. There will I commune with thee. And so there was the very presence of the Lord. And it was a visible presence. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that's what the apostle is referring back to here. It entereth into that within the veil. And it's speaking about going into the presence of the Lord. And as the high priest would have done that on the Day of Atonement, he actually entered within the veil and he was out of sight. But they all knew that he was there, and he was there in the presence of the Lord. Well, here in relation to the anchor, whenever the anchor is dropped over into the depths, the sea becomes like a veil, and the sea conceals the anchor and covers the anchor, but we know the anchor's there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anchor for our souls, that anchor of hope, says in verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what is that teaching us tonight? But that the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died upon Calvary, he rose again triumphantly from the grave. He ascended into heaven. He entered into the presence of the Father. And there he ever liveth as our great high priest to make intercession for us. He's entered within the veil. And we can't see him tonight, but we know he's there. We know he's there. And the thought here in this portion of Scripture, that the one who lays hold by faith upon the anchor that is both sure and steadfast, they have that assurance of salvation, and that one day they shall enter in. The forerunner, the Lord Jesus, he's gone on before. But one day we shall enter into the presence of the Lord. And we shall be there with him for all eternity. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself had prayed for. He prayed in John chapter 17 about his people. And he said to the Father that they may be with me where I am. And he is in the glory tonight. And the prayer that his people will be with him where he is, that prayer will be answered. And every born again believer will one day be gathered up with that great assembly, that great number that no man can number, out of every people and tribe and kindred and tongue and nation, the redeemed of the Lord, those who have fled for refuge and laid hold upon the hope that is set before them. Whether the forerunner has entered, didn't he say that he was going to prepare a place for us? And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. For those tonight who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, we have laid hold upon the hope that is set before us in the gospel. And having hold of that anchor tonight, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, we have that assurance that one day we will be with the Lord for all eternity. If you think of that illustration of the anchor tonight, well, if the anchor didn't have a chain, it wouldn't be much use. If the anchor was just on its own and dropped into the sea, it needs to have the chain. That chain tonight is faith. Do you have that chain that links you to the anchor? Have you embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as he has freely offered in the gospel? Do you have that hope tonight? That hope for your soul's salvation in eternity, that one day you shall enter into the glory. The anchor of hope tonight. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 16, he spoke to them about good hope. Good hope through grace. Thank God tonight you can have that good hope through grace. I read about the southern tip of Africa. If you've ever seen on the map the southern tip of Africa, it used to be called the Cape of Tempests. And that was because of the rough swirling seas around that particular region, the adverse conditions at the sea. And many a vessel perished in that sea, and many lives were lost in that sea. And it was called the Cape of Tempests because of that. But there was a Portuguese man, and he decided that he would sit down and try and plot a safe course through the Cape of Tempests, so that when ships were sailing around that particular stretch of ocean, that they could follow his course and they would be safe. And he was successful in plotting that course that ships follow to this day. And the Cape of Tempests was renamed, and it's called the Cape of Good Hope. The Cape of Good Hope. You know, in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ has plotted the way whereby you can find good hope tonight. And the way was Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died in order that you might have hope tonight. The anchor of hope that is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved tonight, may you anchor your soul in the Savior this evening while you have opportunity. May God bless his word to every heart. We're going to close tonight with the hymn number 261. 261. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. 261. Let's stand together. Let's bow together in a closing word of prayer. And just before I pronounce the benediction tonight, if there's someone here gathered into the gospel meeting or even listening online, and you know tonight you're not saved and you're not right with God, then don't continue with that troubled heart and with that burdened soul. But oh, tonight, come to trust in the only Savior of men. And the Lord has promised, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord give that deciding grace this evening. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us today. We return Thee thanks for help given around Thy precious word. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst take that which has been of Thyself, and Thou wouldst send it forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. If there are those tonight who are halting between two opinions, O Lord, grant to them, we pray, that deciding grace, and may they step out on the promise, may they get under the blood, know their sins forgiven, and know tonight that anchor of hope for their soul this evening. Hear and answer prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with each one, both now and ever. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.